Accession number 31559, reel 1.
Right. Anne Cloudesley Thompson, reel 1. Perhaps if we could start with when and where you were born.
1915.
Where was this?
In Reigate, Surrey. I was the third daughter of my parents. My father was in the First World War. He's a mechanical engineer. And we lived in Reigate. And we stayed there for a considerable time. And I went to school locally, and then I went to boarding school, where my eldest sister went. The time I was to go, she had left. She told me lots of things about it. And it was quite interesting. And they took my certificate. And I think actually it was my mother who suggested physiotherapy. He said, "What do you want to do?" And so I said, "Well, I think I'd like to be an engineer." My father, because he used to make our own electricity at our house. It was a very old house in Reigate Heath. And if he went away, I would look after it and the batteries and so on. And I think she thought, well, probably a bit of a mouthful. But anyway, I think that I could have. My father was not only a mechanical engineer, but he also invented various things. But anyway, so I went to London and took my physiotherapy exams at
just to go back for a moment, what do you remember of Reigate itself as you were growing up, and the town and the community?
Well, we were rather on the outskirts, because they bought this very old house, and it had been built on, it must be about 15th century, and then it was about 17th century addition, which was rather bigger, and a garden. And we were away from the town, near the golf course, that sort of thing. And we had many friends locally. We were Presbyterians, and Scottish Presbyterians. And the church catered for Reigate and Redhill. Reigate was more, I suppose it was more, you might say upper class, I don't know, in general. But Redhill was more was a younger town, really. And and then we moved to London, not long before the war, 2 or 3 years before the war. And I got onto my Chartered Society Chartered Society of Physiotherapy. Because I wanted to see what sort of jobs were available, and I took locums to begin with, and then they came up with rather an interesting appointment, which was to Siemens from Germany sent a technician to start physiotherapy department in Westbourne Grove, London. And they had an ultra shortwave apparatus they wanted to try out and see if they might sell it, I suppose, to Britain. And so the I thought, well, this sounds interesting. And I went to see this guy who was a German technician, and he had a flat, I think, in this house, and he had one very nice room where he had his ultra shortwave. And the idea was that I would have private patients and use his apparatus, and I suppose from their point of view, to see how efficient the ultra shortwave was. And
what was the theory behind the effect it would have on the
about
patients?
What
the theory behind the effect the ultra shortwave would have on the patients?
It was used for especially for sinus treatments, sinuses that are in the vicinity of the eyes. And also you could it was a form of heat, and it was more penetrating than an infrared lamp or a radiant heat bath that you can have over the legs. It was more efficient. And so it could be used for quite a number of different treatments. But the most interesting aspect was that it could be used for sinuses, and people had, I don't know if you've heard of this, the sinuses in close to the eyes here, and the apparatus had these glass electrodes which you placed here, one on either side, and the waves went through, and when I was training, I learned how to use one. It wasn't Siemens, because I don't think they had exported it when I was a student. But anyway, I thought it was rather an interesting project. So I wrote up a little card, which I could take to the doctors to say that I was a physiotherapist in my degrees, and that I also had ultra shortwave, and some of them were interested and asked me to come and see them, and I'd explain that this was a this ultra shortwave particular one I had was a Siemens from Germany, and of course the name Siemens is fairly well known, and I had some patients who had sinus, and I had to go pretty carefully about it because I hadn't used it before. But you can use it on a knee before, but to use it for the sinus below the eye was rather more sort of delicate. But we had been taught the principle of how you used the ultra shortwave for the eyes, and so I got quite a little practice going, and then they wanted to withdraw him after, I can't quite remember, at least a year I had, at least a year, maybe a little longer, and you know what these firms are like, they want to do it like that, don't they? So I thought, well, I must get a physiotherapy department, a physiotherapy room somewhere, and buy some apparatus and start my work. And I did this in Innisfail Gardens, Southwest 7, in Hyde Park, because my parents by that time had come to London, and I was still living at home, But this is rather a nice area in his War Gardens. And in fact, my father's assistant wanted to had a problem about where he was living, and so he said, "I think that he, if you want to live there, in his War Gardens or somewhere in the West End, that he might that it would be quite expensive. I realise it would be. I'd seen one or two places." That he might, I wasn't going to live there, I was only going to use the, there's a treatment room, and it worked quite well. He was he wasn't a mechanical engineer, but he was he'd taken a degree, and so that worked out rather well. He was working all day, and I'd be gone in the evening, and he would use the kitchen and the bedroom with the back of the house, and I had the main big room in the front of Ennismore Gardens, 58 Ennismore Gardens, 56 I think, and I set up my department there, and that was a very interesting period.
How did
that's where I was when the war broke out.
How did the physiotherapy as a profession fit in with the rest of the medical system at the time?
Fairly inclusive, really. Many doctors were not very familiar with it, but they were familiar with using it for injuries, exercises, and that sort of thing. And of course, we were taught not just exercises, but to use heat, radiant heat bath, something of that sort, or electrodes. stimulate the muscles and so on. So what was it you asked me?
I was wondering how it fitted into
into the medical profession. Well, of course, it's used enormously now. But at that time, some hospitals had these, and also they had light treatment. And there were various apparatus that you could use for producing ultraviolet light. And they would have patients who had had injuries of that sort, or even from sport. Or even some congenital conditions, or from falling down in their homes, perhaps, or something of that sort. And some physiotherapists went to their homes, but for my sort of practice, I had a treatment room so that they could come to me if they were able to get about. And I didn't go to people's homes actually, which was really rather nicer, and got it spread around. And anyway, his Siemens ultra short wave was very effective for sinuses. One had to be extremely careful. I remember that when I was learning, you do the massage and that sort of thing as one area, large area, and then the electrical treatment came as an extra sort of degree, which I had done. And I remember one particular case of a woman who had sinus trouble, and she had taken medicines and one thing and another, and it hadn't really improved at all. So I think he thought, well, I'll try her out for this patient. And I was very canny to begin with, using very low amount of ultra-shortwave, and she did very well on it. And so he was, you know, rather bucked about that, and he gave me more patients, not necessarily sinus ones. And gradually I built up quite an interesting practice. I've got a bit out in a way, because I worked at hospitals before I got this rather interesting job from the charter physiotherapist, what do you call it, where you apply for seeing what jobs are on. And then the war came, and of course it was a practice that where patients paid for their treatment, and I could see that people either wanted to get out of London, or they had to go to a particular job to do with the war or something. And I could see that it was going to, well, it disappeared very quickly, 39. And
had you been much aware that the war was imminent?
That was imminent.
Had you been
well,
aware?
We had for a year, hadn't we? For about a year. It was worrying. But actually, it came. It's such a long time ago, you know. That horrible Hitler fellow.
Were you much aware throughout the 1930s of what was happening in Germany and in Europe as a whole?
I don't know that we were, really. As a country or as a person?
Well, both.
Yes. But of course, I was rather taken up with practicing my medicine art, or do you like to call it? So I was taken up with that. But my father, I think he thought that that we didn't see as a country that there was going to be a war, and because he had been in the First World War, and then suddenly it was upon us, wasn't it? And so I had been had that practice for about 2 years, not more than that.
How long did it take to gain a physiotherapy qualification?
3 years, and then for the electrical side, it was another 6 months. And actually, I was at University College Hospital. There was a school of physiotherapy where you got your degree. Actually, it didn't start as a degree; it started as a diploma, and then it became a degree later. But what did you ask me?
I was just wondering how long it had taken to get there.
Oh, yes. Well, it was 3 years, and then 6 months for particularly on electrical treatment. And so it was about almost four years. And then I took one or two short hospital appointments, and then, as I say, then I was when I went to the physiotherapy headquarters for the appointments bureau, I had this offer for using the Siemens, and that was of course, before the war. And so I was, I think I was, I can't remember the dates, isn't that awful? I got them somewhere. But I'd had about 2 years at, in Ennismore Gardens before the war actually came.
What was your reaction to the start of the war?
Mm?
What was your reaction to the start of the war, the declaration of war?
Well, it was pretty devastating, really, because there's nothing like the information that you get now on TV and radio and so on. And I don't think one realized how very serious it was going to be. And that was going to be so devastating. One thought of Hitler as a madman, really, but I don't think we really realized how deeply involved he was in changing Germany. Of course, I always thought that the after the war before that one, what was it called? Heavens.
The Spanish Civil War?
Hmm?
The Spanish Civil War?
No, it was a war in what was it, the Spanish War? Well, anyway, we were there was a peace arrangement made in France, south of France. Where was it called? Goodness me, I went to look that up. I never thought of it.
Do you mean the Treaty of Versailles?
Yes, that's right. Treaty of Versailles was far too hard on the Germans because it meant they could hardly grow potatoes, and we had to actually, I think we actually gave them, and that would really arouse the someone like Hitler to reverse it. They felt very bitter about it, I think. And he encouraged this bitterness amongst the certain group of Germans who were not very well off, of course. And so you asked me how it was that, how we saw what was going to happen. Well, I know my father thought that when I was about 18, 17 or something, that that Treaty of Versailles was really not well thought out, but I don't think he even realized the propensity of what was going to go happen, how Hitler was so extremely strong and had his henchmen and so on. And then, of course, then Russia came into the war and so on. So it was a pretty awful time.
What sort of effect did the start of the war have on your you mentioned that the as people moved out of London, the business, the practice was declining.
Well, my father, for example, was asked to buy a firm. I can't remember the name right now. I mean, I could have for now, but he was working on a certain thing that aeroplanes have now, and to do with how the engine was functioning, and he was with a firm doing this, and I think it was an American firm actually who started this business up, and when was I? Thirty-eight. I was training. I took one or two locums, and then got this job from my Charter Society Appointments Bureau. But that was, of course, before the war, as you say. Yes, so I suppose you could say that we didn't take it as seriously as we should have.
What effect then did the war have on your practice in the initial stages, in the first few months?
When war was declared. Well, definitely that I would have to close my physiotherapy department. Yes, my physiotherapy practice, I should say. And I went to the, as I said, I went to the Charter Society appointments to see what sort of thing I might get involved with. And but this must have been a year before the war actually took place. And because I took that job, and then after about a year, I started my own practice, and I can't remember the exact dates, but I must have been at Dennisborough Gardens for a couple of years, and and realised that it would not be sustainable, or nor would I want it to be. That I would. Once the war started, there'd be casualties and so on, and that's what started me applying to see what sort of war job I might get, and I was offered this. I realised it was going to falter. Patients were going, and I got on to my our appointments, our Charter Society, what you call it.
Was it they who then put you onto
and they put me onto various things. One of them was they weren't able. Well, they did give me various things, but what happened was that there the